There are 10 words in Scripture that make the difference for those who desire to live fully for Jesus Christ. These 10 words proclaim a powerful promise. They define the Christian faith, and they provide a personal confidence to the heart of every believer. If you will understand them, they will radically change your life. If you will believe them, they will breathe renewed strength into your heart and sustain you through the most difficult seasons of life. Stay with us and learn these 10 important words.
The 10 most powerful words you will ever hear. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This verse is the basis of our series and the foundation of our faith in Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God has given us an incredible promise in His Word that opens the door to biblical faith and spiritual victory. In our series, Living Life Through Christ, we will learn how the essence of our faith is found in the promises of God. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Stewarding God's Blessings.
Well, as we continue this morning to study living life through Christ, we are learning that we can do all things through Christ, and that it is Christ who strengthens us and who enables us to do these things. And may I say this morning, as we come to the subject of stewardship, that the fact of the matter is that a true Christian relationship, life that is truly lived through Christ, will affect every single part of our lives. Not just some parts, but every part of our lives. Sometimes people have fear or lack of trust when it comes to the matter of stewardship or the matter of money. And we kind of feel like maybe God won't be fair with us in that way. Sort of like the man who once said to the Lord, he said, "Lord, what is a million years to you?" And the Lord said, "Well, a million years, that's about like a second." And the man said, "Well, what is $10 million to you?" And the Lord said, "Well, that's like a dime." And the man said, "Well, can I borrow a dime?" And God said, "Just a second." And sometimes that's how we think things are with God. You know, if we give something to God, it'll be a million years before we'll ever see it back. Well, I want to speak to you this morning about how to trust God, how to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Notice in your outline, if you're taking notes with us this morning, that stewardship is first and foremost a matter of the heart. It is not first and foremost a matter of money. It is first and foremost a matter of the heart. And I want you to see what the Bible says in Proverbs 3:5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine," what's the next word? Heart. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Now, a trusting heart recognizes God's ownership. Someone who trusts the Lord with all their heart says, "Lord, I know that all these good things are from You, and I know that they are Yours. And Lord, as You have given these things into my care, help me to trust You and help me to recognize Your ownership of all these things." When we are blessed with material blessings, when we are blessed with our children, when we are blessed with a overtime or a bonus at work, this is not something that we necessarily deserve. But God, by His grace, is blessing us with these things. And you see, the essence of life is not about ownership. The essence of life is stewardship. It is being a faithful manager of what God has given into my care. Psalm 24 and verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." In other words, everything here on this planet comes from God. He is the Creator. John 3:27, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Everything that's in your possession today is from God. James 1:17 says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Now mark it down, my friend. Everything that's in your possession today is the gift of God to you. He has blessed you. And a trusting heart recognizes God's ownership. A trusting heart relinquishes selfish fears. Now, many times our fears about stewardship are selfishly based fears. And that's why the Bible says in verse number 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He says, I want you to acknowledge me. Stop fretting. Stop worrying. Don't say, I'll acknowledge God when it comes to my kids and I want them to have this or that. But now in this other area, I don't know if I can acknowledge Him. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. When we open His Word, we must acknowledge His Word as a message to us. We ought not to have the attitude of, well, I'm going to think about it and see if that's what I want to believe. Listen, if it's in the Bible, we should acknowledge it immediately as God's Word. Acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Acknowledge Him in His Word. Acknowledge Him in prayer. And so stewardship is really a matter of the heart. It's a matter of saying, God, from my heart, I want to trust You. I want to trust You with my whole life, with everything about my life. Secondly, stewardship is a matter of honor. It is a matter of honoring God. This is not about honoring the church. It's not about honoring yourself. It's a matter of honoring God. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance. In other words, all that stuff God gives you, He wants to get honor from it. He wants to be glorified from it. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And then it says, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, God says, I want you to honor me with your substance. I want you to trust me, and I want you to honor me with, notice what it says there, the first fruits of your substance, the very first things that God gives to you. One of our missionaries years ago in Africa was teaching some folks in the particular village where he was ministering about the subject of tithing. And as he was teaching them about tithing, a few days later, a man came to his home. He knocked on his door. He had a huge fish, and it was kind of on a rope, and he was holding it there. He said to the missionary, he said, look at the, he said, this is for the Lord. This is for the Lord. And the missionary said to him, he said, well, he said, where are all the, your other fish? And he said, I haven't caught any other fish. You said the first one belongs to the Lord, and I brought this for the Lord. Now, he had the attitude right, didn't he? He said, this was the first one God let me catch. I want to give it to Him. Now, sometimes, folks, when it comes to tithing, it really just doesn't make sense to us on paper. 26 years ago, Terry and I sat down and made our first little family budget. And we put the tithe there. And it seemed like our budget was behind by more than just the tithe. It seemed like we couldn't make it. And on paper, I just didn't see how it would work. But I'm glad to testify today that man's extremity is God's opportunity. When I get to the end of myself and when I say, I can't do this, that's when God begins to provide in a wonderful way. That's why the Bible says in Malachi 3:8 that sometimes we just need to prove God. Sometimes we just need to try Him. Notice what it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You see, God is reminding them of the severity of not honoring Him. And He says in verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, whether you look at the tithe of Melchizedek before the Old Testament law, or whether you look at the tithe during the days of the Mosaic law, or after the law when Jesus affirmed the tithe in the New Testament, wherever you study the tithe, it always means the tenth part. The meaning of the word tithe is the tenth part. It is the Hebrew word mahashra, and it simply told the children of Israel they were to take one-tenth and honor the Lord as the beginning place of their giving with a tithe. Leviticus 27:30 said, all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. All of the tithe, he said, it belongs to the Lord. Now notice the place of the tithe. In Malachi, he said, bring it into the storehouse. And it was brought to the temple. That was their place of worship. In the New Testament, I believe the primary place of giving for the New Testament Christian is in the local New Testament church. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there may be no gatherings when I come. There may be other groups that we can help from time to time, but the first fruits belongs in the storehouse, and the storehouse is the local church. All right. And so thank God for good people and good groups that are out there somewhere doing good things. But the place of the tithe, and by the way, good parachurch ministries will tell you this too. They'll say the tithe is the Lord's, and remember that in your local church. And here we see upon the first day of the week, it was brought to the church. And God wants us to make this matter of obedience something that is in the present tense. That's why he says, prove me on this one. I think sometimes some of you might remember the Pepsi challenge. Well, this is God's challenge. He says, try me, prove me in this area. I heard of a church one time that had run out of parking spots. And they didn't know where the folks could park on Sundays. And so they went next door to the owner of the grocery store next door. And they said, sir, could we use your parking lot on Sundays? The man said, well, he said, that'll be all right. He said, but on one Sunday out of the year, I'm going to rope off the entire parking lot. And I'm not going to allow you to use the parking lot on that Sunday. And the preacher said, well, why wouldn't you let us use the parking lot on that one Sunday? And the man said, because I don't want you to forget who owns this parking lot. Okay. And God doesn't want you to forget, God doesn't want me to forget that I don't own this stuff. It's his stuff. I'm just managing it for him. I'm the steward. I'm not the owner of the stuff. And so we honor God with our substance. Now you say, I thought this was a message about stewardship. So far it just sounds like giving. Well, let's get this in context. When you study the broad subject of stewardship, the very first part of Christian stewardship is always going to be the tithe. The very first line on your family budget should be that line, because that already belongs to the Lord. And so when you do an honest study of stewardship from the Christian perspective, from the biblical perspective, you start with honoring God with your substance. But notice secondly, letter B, we honor God with our stewardship. Now, stewardship is that general term that we use, which speaks of the managing of those things that God has entrusted with us. Children, possessions, money. We are to steward these things. And stewardship is partnership with God. It is working with him. It is saying, Lord, do you want me to buy a Kenmore or an Amana? Do you want me to shop at Walmart or Save Mart? What do you want me to do? I know the answer for that in my own family. I know where my wife goes. And she tries to find the best prices. Why? She's stewarding in our home. Now turn, if you would, in your Bible to Matthew 25, verse 14. Matthew 25 and verse 14. Here is a parable of stewardship that all of us can learn something from. It is a parable of Jesus Christ showing to his disciples how that everyone will receive blessings, how that everyone's to do something with those blessings, and how that everyone will be held accountable for what they do with God's blessings. And it is in Matthew 25, and we'll read just a portion of this. And by the way, Jesus Christ, in 16 of his 38 parables, spoke about money and giving. I think some people, if they would have really listened to Jesus, would have said, boy, he speaks a lot about money when he talks. You know why? He knew that money was so intimately related to the heart of a man that that was how he would get their attention immediately. And in this parable, he speaks about it as well. Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took he his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. By the way, how many of you would like to hear those words, well done, someday? Hey, that's why we come to church. We're here today getting ready for eternity. And you see, we're to honor God in our stewardship. Now let's glean a few lessons from this parabolic teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are some things that we can learn from this? First of all, number one, the talents were from the Lord. The talents were from the Lord. Again, he's the owner, we're the steward. And the talents were probably gold or silver. And they were given to these servants by their master, who in this parable was the Lord himself. Now, the reception of talents or treasure should not bring the response of greed or guilt. It should bring a response of gratefulness and of generosity. It is not wrong when God blesses someone. But the principle here is, what are we going to do with the blessings of God? 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in their uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. It is God that has given these things to the servants and to each of us as His servants. But now He wants us not to put our trust in these things, but to keep our trust in Him. That's part of the reason for giving, that we won't become self-sufficient. We'll always honor Him, always remember Him. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 12, David said, both riches and honor come of thee. You see, David recognized that all that he had came from the Lord. And we must recognize that all that we have comes from the Lord. Here at the church, we believe very strongly in this principle that everything we have comes from the Lord. Every gift that's given is a gift that is from God. That's why we practice the highest degrees of financial stewardship in this ministry. That's why we annually have an outside firm come and audit the books of this church. And that's why we get into a competitive bid process for all of our major purchases here at the church. Why? We want to steward wisely the things that God has done in this place. And God wants you to have that philosophy at home, that you would recognize these talents are from the Lord, and I want to steward wisely the things God has given into our treasure. Notice, secondly, the talents are given according to ability. The talents are given according to ability. Now, sometimes we may not understand this exactly. But God knew that different men would have a different ability to bring about a return. Different women, perhaps, as well. A return is brought back. Sometimes folks will squander the money that God gives to them. How many of you believe if someone squanders their money, that maybe God's not going to give them more next time to steward? You see, I heard of a lady that got all excited at New Year's Eve. She said, I'm going to really do good this year. I'm going to get out of debt. And she was going to make all these resolutions and so forth. And so she got on the telephone. She called the credit card company. She said, I'd like to pay off my MasterCard. Do you take Visa? It just seems like that's the American way. In fact, research shows that the average American family spends 10% more money every year than they earn, year after year after year. You see, the master wanted a return on his initial investment. He did not want the money buried in a hole. He said to the one who brought the return back, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And how we thank God for this principle. Talents are given according to the ability. Thirdly, the talents will require accountability. The talents will require accountability. Listen very carefully. Some of you have been blessed in your investments the last few years. To whom much is given, much is required. Thank God for the blessings, but make sure that you're honoring the Lord with those blessings. What a privilege for me to pastor this wonderful, generous congregation of people who are yielded to the Holy Spirit. So many times I'm humbled. I had a fellow tell me just recently, he said, praise God, we sold our house. And he said, we're going to be giving a tithe off of the increase we made in that transaction. He wanted to honor the Lord in that transaction. And one day we'll all give an account for these things. The Bible says in the book of passage there in verse 19, after a long time, Matthew 25:19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, listen, and reckoneth with them. The word reckoneth means to settle the accounts. So the picture is that when the Lord comes back, there will be an account settling time. Some people call it the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Romans 14:10, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so Jesus will come and there will be an accountability time. And I believe while we're here on this earth that the Lord sees who's managing well. And I believe He looks down and says, you know, He did a good job last year. I'm going to trust Him a little more this year. He was faithful to honor me last year. I'm going to give Him a little more this year. I'm going to give Him 2 talents. I'm going to give Him 5 talents according to His several ability. Now, friend, may we recognize that stewardship is God's plan for every Christian today. There are 4 ways that you can multiply your talents. Maybe God's given you 2 talents. Maybe you're making minimum wage. Maybe you're making more than that. Maybe you've just been very, very blessed in recent days in your job, career, or in other ways. How do you multiply those talents? 4 thoughts. Number one, we must work diligently. You know, I found that in life, If we will work diligently and faithfully, God has a way of blessing that. The Bible, in fact, says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't what? God says we're supposed to work. I was in Korea as a teenager driving down the road one day with a Korean pastor. There were people washing with wash rags the guardrail on the highway. There were people in the highway, on the side of the highway, with brooms sweeping the curb. And there were dozens of them. And he said, do you know what that is? I said, no, sir. He said, that is Korean welfare. I said, I like that. He said, we don't just give them the check, they work for the check. Amen. Listen, friend, there ought to be honor in working for what we make in this hour in which we live. And so work diligently. Be the first one at work. Do the best job that you can. Secondly, steward efficiently. Steward efficiently. Husbands and wives, work at this together. Study those major purchases. Single adults, get together and pray. You say, I need a new car. Get counsel, whatever the case might be. Do the very best you can. Be careful with those credit cards. I heard of one man who said his credit card was stolen, but he decided not to report it because he thought the thief was spending less than his wife had, and so he didn't report it. But I just recommend that you're careful with the credit cards. I mean, so many people who are adverse to giving God the 10% that already belongs to God, but they don't mind giving MasterCard 12%. We need to be careful in that. Work diligently. Steward wisely. Thirdly, invest wisely. Invest wisely. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Listen, there is nothing wrong with men possessing riches. It is only wrong when riches possess the man. So sometimes I grow weary of small thinking Christians who don't pray and don't pay their bills and don't invest, and someone will get a new car and they'll say, well, it must be nice. They don't realize here's someone who's been faithfully giving and faithfully practicing what God's word says. Now God has blessed them. Look at, don't be envious against them. Be thankful for them. Amen. And you see, there's nothing wrong with men possessing riches. It is only wrong when riches possess them. And so work diligently, steward efficiently, invest wisely. Thirdly, give generously. Someone says, wait a minute. You're telling me how to multiply my talents. You're saying by giving? That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now listen, my friend, the more passionate our faith, the more consistent our giving. When we're in love with the Lord, this is a part of how we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the New Testament, they gave the tithe. They also gave offerings for special projects and needs that came up in the church life. So stewardship is a matter, first of all, of the heart. It's not first and foremost about money. It's first and foremost about the heart. Secondly, it is a matter of honoring God. It's a matter of saying, Lord, one day you're going to come back and I'm going to be giving an account for how I stewarded these blessings. And I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear him say, what'd you play all those Pac-Man games for? And why'd you put those rims on and then just wreck your car? And what in the world did you invest in that for? And why in the world did you I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Stewardship is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of honoring God. Thirdly, stewardship is a matter of happiness. It is a matter of happiness. Now, the Bible says in Acts 20 and verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support.
So many people request copies of Pastor Chappell's messages every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. That is why we have posted them on our church website, preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. This collection of messages is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. Log on today to watch or listen.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.